What they call knowledge. One final word on history. History is like a museum where one can go see the repository of the past and taste the charm of olden days. It's a wonderful mirror in which we can see our own narratives. You can even track the past using DNA analyses. I'm fond of literary history. Ancient history satisfies my desire to build my own self-narrative, my identity, to connect with my complicated Eastern Mediterranean roots. I even prefer the accounts of older, patently less accurate books to modern ones. Among the authors I've reread, the ultimate test of whether you like an author is if you've reread him, the following come to mind: Plutarch, Livy, Suetonius, Diodorus Siculus, Gibbon, Carlyle, Renan, and Michelet. These accounts are patently substandard compared to today's works. They're largely anecdotal and full of myths, but I know this. History is useful for the thrill of knowing the past, and for the narrative, indeed, provided it remains a harmless narrative. One should learn under severe caution. History is certainly not a place to theorize or derive general knowledge, nor is it meant to help in the future without some caution. We can get negative confirmation from history, which is invaluable, but we get plenty of illusions of knowledge along with it. This brings me back once again to Monodotus and the treatment of the Turkey problem, and how to not be a sucker for the past. The empirical doctor's approach to the problem of induction was to know history without theorizing from it. Learn to read history, get all the knowledge you can, don't frown on the anecdote, but don't draw any causal links. Don't try to reverse engineer too much. But if you do, don't make big scientific claims. Remember that the empirical skeptics had respect for custom. They used it as a default, a basis for action, but not for more than that. This clean approach to the past they called epilogism. Yogi Berra might have a theory of epilogism with his saying, "You can observe a lot by just watching." But most historians have another opinion. Consider the representative introspection, "What is History?" by Edward Hallett Carr. You'll catch him explicitly pursuing causation as a central aspect of his job. You can even go higher up. Herodotus, deemed to be the father of the subject, defined his purpose in the opening of his work: "To preserve a memory of the deeds of the Greeks and barbarians, and in particular, beyond everything else, to give a cause, emphasis mine, to their fighting one another." You see the same with all the theoreticians of history, whether Ibn Khaldun, Marx, or Hegel. The more we try to turn history into anything other than an enumeration of accounts to be enjoyed with minimal theorizing, the more we get into trouble. Are we so plagued with the narrative fallacy? While looking at the past, it would be a good idea to resist naive analogies. Many people have compared the United States today to ancient Rome, both from a military standpoint. The destruction of Carthage was often invoked as an incentive for the destruction of enemy regimes, and from a social one, the endless platitudinous warnings of the upcoming decline and fall. We may have to wait for a generation of skeptical empiricist historians capable of understanding the difference between a forward process and a reverse one. Just as Popper attacked the historicists in their making claims about the future, I have just presented the weakness of the historical approach in knowing the past itself. After this discussion about future and past blindness, let us see what to do about it. Remarkably, there are extremely practical measures we can take. We'll explore this next.